Okay, so we're going to get started. It's wonderful to see everyone. Wishing you a happy Hanukkah and a good Chodesh. Today is Rosh Chodesh. It's the first of the new month, time of new beginnings and fresh starts. So it's a very auspicious time to be together. And it's really an amazing program that's been put together to bring together Jews of all backgrounds and all affiliations for a day of learning. And it's record numbers, really, really fantastic. So I know we have a diverse group here today. And I'm going to try to address a topic in a way that is accessible to everybody and hopefully that is inspirational to everyone, myself maybe foremost among them, and hopefully it'll touch you too. And that is the topic of Shabbos. We encounter it regularly. We encounter it often. We just came off of Shabbos last night. The idea that every seventh day, every weekend, we observe the Shabbos. And Shabbos can become rote. It can become stale. It can become habit. People can see Shabbos as something which is restrictive. It's constrictive. It limits us. It sets boundaries. I just want to be like the rest of the world. I want to be able to do what I want, where I want, when I want. Why do I need to have Shabbos that sets me back or holds me back? And what I want to share with you, what I find inspirational, is that maybe our generation, more than any other that came before, desperately needs Shabbos. What Shabbos provides as a refuge, as a respite, as an opportunity to rejuvenate, re-energize, to recalibrate our priorities, how we spend our time, with whom we spend our time, and what we're doing. Our generation, the technological era, the information age, the age of noise, we need Shabbos maybe more than anyone else. The great Achad Ha'am, which was the pen name for Asher Tzvi Hirsch Ginzburg, who lived 1856 to 1927, he famously said, "More than the Jews have kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jews. More than the Jews have observed the Shabbos, it's Shabbos which has kept the Jewish people going." And so, even when we don't appreciate it, even particularly younger people who are struggling, different segments of different communities, and whatever that means, to observe a Shabbos, but Shabbos really is something which is so key and so core, not just to our well-being, but to our very definition, our very identification, to who we are as a Jewish community. The Roman philosopher Seneca wrote, for example, he derided Shabbos. He said it was a wasteful institution, in which the Jews, quote, lose almost a seventh of their life in inactivity. In a world that defines meaning by activity and progress and construction and creativity, this Roman philosopher criticized the Jews and derided us by saying, spend a seventh of our time, a seventh of our life in inactivity? What a waste of time. But we actually have the exact opposite tradition. Our tradition is that Shabbos is not only something which we embrace, it's not only something which is not a burden, but it's in fact the greatest gift that Hashem, that God, could give us. So much so that we're told that Shabbos was given exclusively to the Jewish community. Shabbos is a treasure for the Jewish community. It's a special secret, represents a special code, a special bond, a special intimacy or affection between us and God. Our rabbis tell us that Shabbos complained. He said, Sunday is Monday, and Tuesday is Wednesday, and Thursday is Friday. Every day of the week has companionship. But Shabbos says, I'm all alone. I'm lonely. And God says, don't worry. You also have a companion. You have my holy, my beloved children. You have the Jewish people. That when the rest of the world are running and doing and building and being creative and conquering and engaged in technology and consumed by noise and to-do lists and obligations, you, the Heilige Shabbos, you, the seventh day, you too have companionship. Your companionship is the Jewish people. So much so that the gifts was given to the Jewish people, the Jewish law says that a non-Jew, goy sheshavas chayav misa, if a non-Jew tries to imitate us by observing Shabbos, there's a capital crime. It's a death penalty from a Jewish perspective. It's never been applied. No Jew, non-Jew's been put to death as a result of trying to keep Shabbos. But the symbolism, the deeper meaning of that idea that the sanctity of Shabbos and the special quality of Shabbos, that it's something special, it's something which is for us. When one engages, and what we're going to talk about together this morning, but when we engage Shabbos with the right philosophy and the right attitude, and we tap into its special energy and its magic, it transforms us. You know, every one of us, we're living in this world of high stress, high obligation, high responsibility, and high anxiety. We're living in a world where people have envy and jealousy and worry and fear and doubt and responsibility and obligation. And we're going through the rat race, depending what age or stage of life. Some people are just trying to earn enough money to get by. Some people have grief and challenges from children and different relationships, finances, anxiety. And that's 6 days a week we endure that. But the seventh day we get to retreat. We get to withdraw. Our rabbis tell us that Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba. It's a taste of the world to come. It's a taste of what it will be like, the serenity and the tranquility that we all so desperately desire. That's all we want. All we want, like Yaakov, our great patriarch, Jacob, Leshev B'Shalva, all we want is some peace and quiet and serenity and tranquility. Not to be running to doctors and appointments and labs and all kinds of treatments. Not to be running to work. Not to be running to the store and the supermarket to do the laundry and to do the dishes. Not to be running, doing, going, going. We just want some serenity, some peace and quiet. And we have that incredible, incredible opportunity once a week. It's called Shabbos. Shabbos is similar. Anyone from up north? Originally? Everybody's from up north originally. So Shabbos is our equivalent of a snow day. Remember the greatness of the snow day? The beauty and the greatness of the snow day was that no matter how much you have to do, so you had all these plans and this whole to-do list and these great responsibilities, but no matter how much you have to do, when the roads are closed and the schools are closed and work is closed because it's a snow day, it's a guilt-free day off. No matter what you have to do, you can't do it. And you can't feel guilty that you're not doing it because you didn't blow off the day. You're a responsible person. It was just taken out of your hands. So we get that privilege once a week, a snow day or a hurricane day from a Floridian perspective, a Florida perspective. But once a week, the serenity, the tranquility of saying, you know what? That whole to-do list that goes up on a shelf and all the responsibility and the obligation of things that had to get done, I'll revisit it when the snow clears, or I'll revisit it when the sun sets on Saturday night, when I make Havdalah, when I come back and re-enter into the week. So Shabbos gives us that serenity, that tranquility that we so desperately want. It's a beautiful interpretation of Menachem Ben Sion Zaks, was a rabbi in Chicago. He descended from his grandfather, was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He passed away in 1987. And he has a wonderful book called Menachem Tzion, a series of Sfarim of books. And there he describes the power of Shabbos in transforming us, not only transforming us spiritually, transforming us physically, physiologically. We become different people. As soon as that sun sets on Friday, and if we observe Shabbos in this way, we disengage from technology, we go through this detox from technology. The average person checks their cell phone, research says, over 2,100 times a day. The average American reaches for their cell phone, a text, or a phone call, or an email, or Facebook, or Twitter, or Snapchat, or Instagram, or one of the other gazillion apps available, over 2,000 times, just do the math in terms of how many seconds there are a day, and grabbing your phone 2,000 times a day. So we don't own that phone owns us. That phone is not serving us, we are serving that phone. So over 2,000 times a day we're reaching for that phone. Please come sit.
Hi, Rabbi.
Good morning. Over 2,000 times a day.
No source sheets.
We're going free of the source sheets. So we're grabbing it 2,000 times a day, and then we detox on Shabbos. So imagine the clarity that we get when we take away the pollution and the noise and the vibrations and the ding and the ring and all the stuff that clouds our judgment and our lives and interferes with our relationships. And then we detox. For 24, for 25 hours, we have Shabbos. We have that serenity, that tranquility that it provides. So he says, you know, we sing a song on Friday night, written by Rav Shlomo Akabetz, one of the great Kabbalists who lived in the north of Israel, in Tzfat. And he wrote a song for us called Licha Dodi. In the days of Tzfat, they would go out to the field, and as the sun would set, they would welcome the Shabbos Queen, this image of the Shabbos Queen. And he composed the song, Licha Dodi Likras Kala Pnei Shabbos Nekabla. Come, my beloved, we're going to go accept the Shabbos Queen. So Pnei Shabbos Nekabla, this song, Pnei Shabbos, the face of Shabbos we're going to accept. What does that mean, Pnei Shabbos Nekabla? So normally it's been translated to mean, Pnei Shabbos Nekabla, we're going to go welcome Shabbos. The Shabbos, this time period, this 1/7 of the week, this Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, we're going to welcome. But he reinterprets it and he says, you know what Pnei Shabbos means?
What?
Punim. We all have a punim, we have a face, we have a vachadika punim, we have a weekday face. And our weekday face looks stressed out and anxious and worried and busy and distracted. That's our weekday face. But then Friday comes and you put on your Shabbos punim. You put on your face. It's peaceful. Let go. All the tense, all the stress, all the anxiety, all the worry, all the muscle tightening, all the blood rushing, all that in the face. Just let go. Just let it go. Light the Shabbos candles. Let the light illuminate the darkness. Bring in the peace and tranquility of Shabbos. Just let it go. Pnei Shabbos Nekabla. He explains a complicated law, not for now this way, but there's a law that when a couple get married and we recite the Sheva Brachas for 7 days, So in order to be able to recite the seven blessings for 7 days following the wedding, you need people attending the meal who are not at the wedding. Panim chadashus, you need new faces, people who are not at the wedding, who recreate that excitement and freshness as if the wedding is happening again. For 7 straight days, you make sheva brachas. It's exhausting, and it's the most wonderful exhaustion there is. It's absolutely fantastic. So the halacha is that you need new faces. The law is you need new faces in order to recite these 7 blessings, with the exception of Shabbos. Tosfos says that on Shabbos, Shabbos is panim chadashus. Shabbos is the new face. So what does that mean? You don't need new guests? Shabbos? How is Shabbos alleviate that criteria of needing new guests? You're able to say these Shabbat brachas, these 7 blessings on Shabbos, even without new guests. So he interprets it beautifully. He says, you do have new guests. You know who the new guests are?
Awesome.
You! You might have been at the wedding, but that was the weekday version of you. We're running late, get in the car, we have to go. Did you bring the checkbook? Did we give the gift? Did you dance? How was the line at the bar? What was the foot? That was the week. Did you take a picture? Did you post it on Instagram? Did you share it on Facebook? Did you send it around? That weekday version of you was at the wedding. But now, Shabbos comes, there's a new version of you, Pnei Shabbos Nekabla. You've put on your Shabbos panim. You've let go. You've relaxed. You set the phone aside. You turned it all the way off. You put it on airplane mode. You've disconnected from technology. You've disconnected from the news cycle. You've disconnected from the workload. You've disconnected from the to-do list. You've disconnected from having to go to the doctor's office or getting back the lab results. You've disconnected from what 6 days a week holds us down and weighs us. And what do? You put on your Shabbos panim. The serenity that's achieved is Pnei Shabbos Nekabla. That's what we're able to get. Benachem Tzion, Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks. He was a rabbi in Chicago. Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks. So there are two themes to Shabbos. That's really what I want to talk to you about. I have long source sheets on this. I'm happy to share with anyone if you contact me afterwards. I have many, many pages of source sheets on this, and I'm happy to share it with you. But Shabbos contains within it two...
You can email
me. I'd be happy to send it. Okay. Shabbos contains two very, very special themes, and we reference them. When we make Kiddush, when we recite the blessing on the cup of wine on Friday night, we have bookends. How do we distinguish this time from the rest of the week? We have bookends. We read it in the Ten Commandments. We have two versions of the Ten Commandments in the Torah. Yeah. So one version it says, Zachor, remember Shabbos, commemorate Shabbos. And the other it says, Shamor, observe, safeguard Shabbos. Okay. So our rabbis, we say they were Shamor v'Zachor, b'diborecha, they were said together. God said one word, we heard it in two different ways. Yeah. It's like one layer of light goes into a prism, but it comes out in the full array of the rainbow. So God said one thing, but we heard two words. Zachor v'shamor, to commemorate Shabbos, and to observe Shabbos. How do you do both? So one you do in the positive. Zachor is to, in the positive sense, the positive commandments. We make Kiddush at the beginning of Shabbos to distinguish it from Friday. We make Havdalah Saturday night in order to exit Shabbos and re-enter the week. We also make a blessing of the Tuchalas to commemorate the miracle of the heavenly man, the manna that fell from heaven. We have positive commandments. And then we have the negative commandments. We have 39 acts of creative labor that we refrain from doing on Shabbos. Those are the prohibitions of Shabbos. So Kiddush, we distinguish, we set aside, we bookend Shabbos both at the beginning and at the end. Kiddush at the beginning and Havdalah at the end. So in Kiddush, we reference two themes that we have. On Friday night, we have the long Kiddush. And then the day Shabbos day, we have a shorter Kiddush. The idea of the Kiddush is, normally when a person sits down for a meal, you begin by breaking bread, you eat some bread, and then can I offer you a glass of wine when your stomach has been filled a little bit? We have wine in the context of the meal. So Sunday night through Thursday night, I make my hamotzi, I eat my bread, I begin my meal, then someone pours a glass of wine. Friday night, I say this meal is different than the other 6 nights a week. What makes this meal different? First, I'm going to make a blessing and a glass of wine. I'm going to sanctify this meal. Only then will I enter the meal. So by first sanctifying it with the glass of wine, I've distinguished it, I've elevated it, I've made it different from all the other meals of the week. So that Kiddush, that longer Kiddush Friday night, has two themes to it. It begins with Vayichulu, which is referencing creation. There's a component of Shabbos which is celebrating creation, the creation of the world. Creation happened in 6 days and God rested on the seventh. And we too conquer the world for 6 days. We manipulate, we conquer, we study, we investigate, we build, we create, we innovate. And the seventh day, we rest. We are at peace. We are at peace with nature, and we are at peace with the world. The second theme is, anyone know the second theme? The first theme is creation. The second theme is?
Redemption.
Similar to redemption. It's referencing a past redemption with the longing for the future
Exodus.
Which is the Exodus from Egypt. Exactly. Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt. The Exodus from Egypt. So every single week, I tap into the theme of creation, and I tap into the theme of Exodus. And what I want to study with you today is, how do I relate to either of those? Both of them happened a really long time ago. Right? The creation of the world happened from the Jewish calendar perspective almost 6,000 years ago, or from a scientific perspective, and they're not incompatible, but billions of years ago. So how do I, in 2018, how do I, in 5779, connect to something that happened almost 5,800 years ago? How do I tap into creation? Also the Exodus. The Exodus, God took us out. We were slaves in Egypt 210 years. We suffered a suffering that was almost parallel to the Holocaust. Paro killed the firstborn sons and the forced labor and the murder. And then God miraculously took us out with 10 plagues and the splitting of the sea. And once a week, I go back to be able to experience that. How do I experience two things that happened so long ago that I have no relationship with? I can't relate to. I can't connect to. How do I tap into? And what I want to study with you is that each of these events in history are not about the event in history of either creation or the Exodus. Each reveal a theme, an energy, a possibility that we desperately also need even in our time. That even our modern contemporary era, we also need to draw from those very, very powerful themes of creation and of Bracious and of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Exodus. So how does it connect to both of these? It connects to both of these, you have to understand, by beginning with appreciating the Jewish perspective of work, not just about rest. We like to focus on Shabbos as in the seventh day we rest. But the premise or the assumption about resting on the seventh day is that what did you do the first 6 days? You worked. Not only do we derive a mandate to rest from the Torah that God rested on the seventh day, but we also derive a mandate not only to rest, but to work. Work is an essential human obligation. It's a central pillar of our mission here on earth. See, Christians, they see work as a punishment.
Oh, really?
It's a concession. Really, the ideal world would be one in which we can all sit back and be born retired, play shuffleboard and mahjong and tennis and go to the buffet and enjoy each other's company. But the idea that you have to go work, the idea that you have to get up and be productive and contribute and do and discover and manipulate and innovate, it's a concession to a failure within the world. It's a punishment. But we, the Jewish people, see work not as a punishment, not as a concession. We see work as a calling. The Avos de Rabbi Nassan, in chapter 11, one of the works of our Tannaitic rabbis, says that just as God worked for 6 days and then rested on the seventh, so we like to focus on the we rest in the seventh like he rested on the seventh. But we also have to focus on just like he worked for 6 days, we have to work for 6 days. Work was given to us as a covenant, as a bris. We made a pledge, we have a covenant, a responsibility to God that we're going to work. In fact, the Medrash says, Chaviva hi amalacha mischusa avos. The work, the idea of a work ethic, the idea of being productive, of contributing, no matter what age, no matter what stage of life, from a Jewish perspective, there's no such thing as retirement. You can retire from your given profession. Maybe you're done having to clock in certain hours of the day. You're entitled to be done after having put in a certain amount of time. So there is retirement from a given profession. And there's retirement from a certain amount of hours a day you have to work. But there's no retirement from being productive. So long as there's a pulse in our veins and there's breath in our nostrils, so long as we're alive, we have yet what to contribute, what to give, what to do. And in fact, it's the opposite. Adaraba. In retirement from our profession, sometimes we can finally get to work. Whether getting to work means impacting our children and our grandchildren, being a role model shaping our family, getting to work means volunteering, getting to work means being philanthropic, getting to work means being a lay leader for some cause that we care desperately about. But sometimes it's only when we can retire from our profession that we can actually and finally get to work. But Judaism has no concept of being retired in the perspective of I wake up every day with nothing to do, nothing to contribute. All I do is take, enjoy, pleasure seek. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. Enjoy a good game of mahjong, golf, tennis. Enjoy the buffet. That's also very Jewish. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it. But it has to be tangential and it has to be the smaller part of your life and your day. It can't come to define your essence and your being. We made a covenant with God that we are here not just to rest on the seventh day, but that we make a commitment to work the 6 days, to make a difference. and to be able to contribute, to mold, to shape his world, to improve his world, to repair his world. So much so that our rabbis say, Chaviva yimalacha mischas avos, is more beloved to God. Our work ethic and our commitment to make that contribution is even more beloved to the Almighty. It's beloved to God. Our rabbis tell us in Pirkei Avos, Ethics of Our Fathers, Torah im derech eretz. For Torah to succeed, for the study of Torah and Torah values, they're not just reserved for the study hall, they're not reserved for an ivory tower, they're not just academic, they need to be applied. And how are the principles and values of our Torah applied? When we leave the study hall, engage the world, and bring those values to direct how we're going to mold and shape and improve that world in which we live. So Judaism views that our view is that we value work and we embrace creativity and we revolutionize the world. So the obligation to rest on Shabbos is not an obligation of rest from work, but it's an obligation of rest from creative labor. Creative labor. Because the responsibility to work for those 6 days is not to schlep, it's not to sweat, it's not labor. The obligation to work for the 6 days is to understand the world, to conquer it, to manipulate it, to discover, to innovate, to create, to mold, to shape. So if those are the mandate of the 6 days, then the mandate of resting on the seventh day is to rest from exactly those activities. So one has to understand, this is terribly misunderstood, even by the Shabbos observing community, that the laws of Shabbos demand that we rest from work doesn't mean that you rest from labor, because you may wonder, I'm not allowed to turn on a switch, a light switch on Shabbos, but I'm allowed to walk a mile in August in Boca Raton. Which one will make you break out in a sweat? Which one will exhaust you? Which one will you have to be recovering the rest of the week from? Flipping on the light switch or walking a mile to shul in August in Boca Raton? So I'm allowed to walk to shul. I can move heavy furniture. I can serve a meal where I have to serve 30 people and remove the dishes. All that labor is permissible, but stepping on the gas pedal or flipping on the light switch, that the Jewish law says you're not allowed to do. How does that make any sense? Well, it makes all the sense in the world if you understand and appreciate that what's prohibited is not labor. What's prohibited is what's called creative labor. Creative labor. How do we define creative labor? Creative labor is not strenuous activity, but it's actual lasting labor that improves one's world. It's the work that we do that improves the world. And how many categories are there of that?
39.
39. And from where do we derive those 39 categories? Well, let's see. If we're looking for defining creative labor, innovation, creativity, things that repair and improve God's world, that give God, dira betachtonim, give God a dwelling place here in the world below, what activity in our history did we use our creativity, our innovation, our building skills in order to create a place where God could dwell down here below? The tabernacle, the Mishkan. So our rabbis understood by the juxtaposition of the verses in the Torah that how will we discover which are the activities that are forbidden on Shabbos? It's the very activities which were used in building the tabernacle. So we counted them. In order to build the tabernacle, to create a home, a dwelling place for God's presence, how many activities went in there? 39. Well, it's those 39 that we're going to call creative labor. So it's not labor which is prohibited on Shabbos. It's creative labor. How do you know the difference between the two? Anything an animal can do is labor. Anything that takes human ingenuity and creativity is called creative labor. An animal can walk a mile in August. An animal can push heavy furniture. An animal can do labor. That's not what's forbidden. An animal can also flip a light switch on, but it can't discover electricity. An animal can't invent electricity. An animal can't invent the cell phone. An animal can't invent the car. So anything that takes human ingenuity is what we're not allowed to do. Anything that an animal, someone with a being with a low intellect could do too, that's called physical labor, that's something which is permissible. So this drives all the laws of Shabbos. Right? I don't want to get into this complicated tangent, but if we're missing intent, if the creativity is missing in the labor, then you haven't violated. Malacha shein tzricha legufa, misasek, shogeg, all of these things, mekalkel, any activity which there's no human intent and human creativity is not included in a violation of the laws of Shabbos. So inherent in the concept of Shabbos rest is the idea of imitating God through creation, which we so wholly affirm the rest of the week. 6 days a week, I'm imitating God, I'm creating, I'm innovating, I'm manipulating, I'm conquering, I'm building His world. It's not a coincidence that Jews are disproportionately represented in scientific discovery and Nobel Prize winning. Not because we're necessarily smarter than anyone else, we're not inherently better or smarter, but we come from a people and a culture which has driven that 6 days a week, you have drive, you have ambition, you have a work ethic. Go discover, go conquer, go manipulate. God gave us His world to be in charge and to unpack and unfold and discover the great gifts that are contained in it. Go discover outer space and go dig deep and plumb the depths and go discover biology, chemistry, physics. Go be a scientist. Go create the world, build tech companies. Go conquer the world. How do we imitate God? 6 days a week He created, and we create. And the seventh day, we rest from the very activity that imitates His creation. So we're not resting from physical labor, we're resting from creative labor. Our rest imitates God's rest. God didn't rest to rejuvenate or re-energize, so why did He rest? We can't just see Shabbos as, I'm exhausted. There was a study that came out recently that really affirms what Jews have known forever, which is that you can make up for missing sleep during the week if you sleep a lot on the weekend. I saw this study. I felt great about it. You know, not getting enough sleep is really bad for your health. It's one of the things that we are all, many of us are very guilty of. But the study came out and said you can make up for lost sleep if you sleep on the weekend. Shena Mishubachas, we sing on Shabbos, the beauty of a Shabbos shluf, sleeping on Shabbos. A good Shabbos is nothing like a Shabbos nap on a belly full of chalent after a good l'chaim, after a great Shabbos meal, good company, good guests, a few sufganiyot, maybe a few single malt scotches, and you collapse into your bed and you take the deepest Shabbos afternoon shluf, a drimmel, a nap. There's nothing greater, nothing holier. That's what Shabbos is all about. Not just sleeping the whole day away. You have to earn that shluf. You got to go to shul, you got to listen to the rabbi's great sermon, you got to spend time with family and friends, you got to have a good meal and host those who make sure that no one's ever alone, and then you've entitled, then you've earned collapsing into that good shluf. So we shluf on Shabbos to also re-energize and rejuvenate, and we get ready to take on the week. Rabbis, we're in the minority here, because most people the whole week they work, and then Shabbos they rest. I'm still trying to figure this out. I've been doing this for many years now. All week I'm like looking forward to Shabbos. Then Shabbos I look forward to the week. Then the week I look forward to Shabbos. And I'm still trying to figure out when we rabbis get to rest. Sometime in between. But Shabbos, there is a component of rest. But that can't be all there is. Because if the whole reason that we're experiencing Shabbos is to imitate God, did God need to rest? Was He exhausted after His 6 days of creation?
No.
One thing we know about God, He's omnipotent, infinite, perfect. He doesn't need anything. While labor exhausts us, labor does nothing to Him. We don't even understand what it means for Him to go through labor. In fact, He created the world with His sayings. He was the very first speech recognition. We, again, are a generation that can understand that. For thousands of years, Jews have studied that Be'eser Ma'amaros Nivra Olam, that with 10 sayings, God created the world. We say it in our prayers every day. Baruch Sha'amar Vaya Olam. God spoke and the world came to be. And our ancestors, for generations, they said, ah, oh, come on, what does that mean? How could it be that you talk and something happens? That makes no sense. That doesn't make sense. But we're a generation that understand that. We talk, Alexa. And the next thing you know, the lights are on, the air conditioning is adjusted, the printer's printed out something for us. We talk, and things happen. Not our children don't listen to us because we talk. That's still, we still haven't figured that piece out. But soon you'll get into your Tesla or whatever other car, and you'll talk and you'll say, Tesla, take me to, and then you'll start reading your book and you'll arrive at the destination. So we can understand a world where you talk, speech recognition. We understand a world where, and so that was God. God wasn't exhausted from 10 sayings that resulted in the creation of this entire intricate, detailed world with amazing minutiae. God wasn't exhausted. So why did He rest? If God has no needs, omnipotent and perfect, why did He rest? Our rest is to imitate God's rest. So there's a component of our rest which is all about collapsing and exhaustion and rejuvenating and re-energizing for the new week ahead. But that's not exactly the definition of rest. It can't be, because we're imitating God's rest and God doesn't need to rest. So why did God rest? And the answer is that without stopping, creation is not a willful activity towards a goal, but it's a never-ending process. This is such an important point. Without stopping and reflecting and celebrating, then you're just in this endless loop and cycle of creativity and creation. And you're almost no longer doing a mindful activity. You've not chosen to engage in the act of creativity. You're just stuck in a cycle of creativity. by stopping and disengaging and reflecting and celebrating, then you can re-engage with meaning and with intent and with purpose. So our resting imitates God's resting. God's resting was not to re-energize or rejuvenate. It was to give meaning to the very work. For the work to have been meaningful, you have to be able to say, die, enough, stop, I'm resting. That was why God stopped, and it's why we stopped too. So indeed, Shabbos is the tachlis of creation. What do we say in our davening? Atakidashta es yom ha'shvi'i l'shmecha, tachlis ma'asa shamayim va'aretz. We say in the Amidah of Friday night that you sanctified the seventh day, the conclusion of the creation, tachlis. You know the word tachlis? What's the tachlis? What was the tachlis of why God created the world? Was it for the 6 days or the seventh? What's the answer? It was for the seventh day. Let's say I'm working and working and working. Why am I working and working and working? So I have money and money and money. Why do I want money? To take from my family and my family to enjoy my family. But if I'm constantly working to have the money for my family, to enjoy the time with my family, but I never stop to enjoy the tachlis, the whole reason I go to work and the whole reason I improve the world, and the whole reason I discover and innovate and create, and the whole reason I build technology, and the whole reason I do all of these things is to enjoy them, is to benefit from them, is to be enriched by them, is to be empowered by them. But if I never stop and now enjoy and never actually engage that which I've achieved, then what was the purpose of it all? The person who goes to work 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, and their children graduate, leave their home, and they never spend time. Why did you go to work and earn all that money? Wasn't it to give your children the best life? And is not your children's best life one that includes time with you? So the purpose of the rest on Shabbos is not just because of the exhaustion of physical labor. It's to be able to enjoy and to benefit from and to reflect on and to celebrate all that we did during the 6 days that we created. The whole point of working and making money and going to the gym and staying healthy and buying things, the whole purpose of all 6 days is Shabbos. Shabbos. That's why I have this house and this dining room table. And that's why I go to the gym and stay fit so that I can eat whatever I want on Shabbos. And that's why I have all these things and these relationships with these people. It's all for Shabbos. Shabbos is tachlas l'masa bereshis. It is the very purpose of creation. And woe for the people who don't have it. How bad I feel for them. They're caught in this rat race of just trying to accumulate and amass more and experience more. But they never stop to enjoy and to benefit.
What does tachlis mean in Hebrew?
Tachlis means the purpose, the conclusion, the goal, the tachlis of why we're doing it. Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. It's a taste of the world to come because the 6 days of the week are the Shabbos. What this world is the world to come. This world is a hallway. It's a pathway to the world to come. It's where we earn and achieve. It's where we make choices that matter until we get to that world to come. But that's the point of being here in this world. So Shabbos is to the week what the world to come is to this world. And so rest and tranquility and silence and peace were all created on Shabbos. Shabbos was never meant to be understood in negative terms. Shabbos is not the cessation of something. It is the culmination of creation. So it's not 6 days a week God created and then he stopped, he rested, it's negative, he withdrew. It's the opposite. 6 days a week, 6 days he created so that he could enjoy and experience the seventh. Do you go on vacation so you can get back to work? Or did you do all that work to be able to go on vacation? Shabbos is our weekly vacation. 6 days we do that work, whether it's professionally or whether it's simply the work of the laundry and the shopping and the cooking and the doing, so that the seventh day we can enjoy. The Maharal, Rabbi Yehuda Lowy of Prague, says, each day of creation is a step towards completion that occurred on Shabbos. Creation's climactic culmination is the act of stopping. If you can't stop, who's really in charge? Who really owns who? I mean, again, take technology as an example. And I emphasize this all the time. And I'm working on this in my own personal life all the time. Because I think it's the greatest example of it. So God gave us the power to discover. And what do we do with that power? These amazing companies have developed technologies which help us in extraordinary ways. Technology is amazing. I embrace it. Sitting here on the desk, I have several pieces of technology, including more in my pocket. Right here, I've got technology all over me. And 6 days a week, the technology does amazing, amazing things for us. But we created it to serve us. And what has happened? We're serving it. When we can't shut down and we can't disconnect and we can't turn it off. When we reach into our pocket over 2,000 times a day, when we have to TiVo or must-see TV or all the technology in our lives, instead of it serving us, we're serving it. Instead of our owning it, it owns us. So how do we show who's the Baal, who has Bailus, who has ownership? How do we show a technology who's in charge? We show the world of technology who's in charge by showing that we can still live without it 25 hours a week. That one day a week, technology, I can live without you. I created you. I'm in charge of you. You're here to serve me, not the opposite. And how do I show you the technology, artificial intelligence, but how do I show me, more importantly, that I own you, that you're here to serve me? By one day a week disconnecting. Sociologists will soon be studying the Shabbos observing community, because we will be the last vestiges on the globe, on earth, who have the capacity to shut it down for a day a week. A day a week. It's an amazing thing, Shabbos. Yeah. It's an, my children who are sending text messages in their thumbs and they're rapidly and they're all day, technology, they're not tempted. 25 hours a week, there's no struggle, there's no temptation. It's off the table. It's just not an option for them because they're growing up in a Shabbos observing family. So they have the gift. You know what happens? There are amazing things that happen when you put the technology away.
Oh God, you feel different.
You start talking to one another. You start laughing with one another. You play board games with one another. You spend time with one another. You open these ancient things called books and you read. You take a nap. You do amazing, amazing things when you shut off the technology. So you have to understand Shabbos. The rest is not, I'm resting so I can go back to work. It's, I did all that work so that I can get to this rest. It's not that I'm experiencing lack of technology so I can go back to my technology. I have all that technology so that I can finally disconnect from it for a day and rest and do the things that matter and that are important with the people that matter and that are important to me. So rest, tranquility, silence, peace, all these values were created on Shabbos. This is what Shabbos is about, the capacity to stop. If I can't stop, if I can't withdraw, if I can't disconnect, if I can't say die, it's enough. If I can't stop, I'm enslaved to it. It doesn't serve me. How do we show our freedom? How do we go through that other theme? So we talked about the theme of creation, imitating God, work as a value, not a concession or a punishment, but work as a value that we pursue, not labor, but creative labor, creativity, ingenuity, innovation, conquering God's world. And then we imitate God with rest, not a rest from physical exhaustion, but a rest to our ability to break the cycle and to say, stop. This is the culmination. This is the climax. This is why I've been doing all that work, to be able to withdraw and to enjoy this. And when I do stop and withdraw and enjoy this, then what am I achieving? I'm liberating myself. It's a freedom. It's an exodus from my world of a to-do list and doctor's appointments. It's an exodus from a world of responsibilities and obligations. It's an exodus from a world of chores. It's an exodus from a world of pop culture that tells me what to look like, how to dress, who to be, what to watch, what to listen to. It's an exodus that's liberating. It's freedom. It's a taste of the freedom that we all so desperately crave. Creativity is not a continuity of action. Creativity is the balance between action and inaction, between something and nothing. You have to be able to move and you have to be able to stop. The movement only has meaning when you have the ability to stop. The creativity only has meaning when you have the ability to stop. Action only has meaning when you have the ability to be content with inaction. So Shabbos and the week are the rhythm of action and inaction, sound and silence, creativity and rest, will and restraint, conquest and peace. That's the relationship between Shabbos and the week. And without Shabbos, you can go weeks or months or years or decades or a lifetime of never having tasted the climax, the culmination of why we're doing it all. Of why we're doing it all. So what happens when we lose that balance between activity and inactivity? Between noise and silence? Between creativity and rest? What happens when we lose that balance? There's an article from the New York Times. It goes back to 2012, called The Busy Trap. All about our sense of busyness, busyness, busyness. That busyness is a commodity. You see people today, you say, how are you doing? I'm busy, crazy busy, psycho busy. I'm insanely busy. We think that we impress other people or we define our own self-worth by how busy we are. You know, busy doesn't necessarily mean productive. busy doesn't necessarily mean positive. We fill our lives with all kinds of busyness, which isn't necessarily good, and yet we think we're impressing others, or we think we're impressing while we're really fooling ourselves by describing how busy we are. And the author of this article, Tim Kreider, writes, notice it isn't generally people pulling back-to-back shifts in the ICU or commuting bus 3 minimum wage jobs who tell you how busy they are. What those people are is not busy, but tired, exhausted, dead on their feet. It's almost always people whose lamented busyness is purely self-imposed. Work and obligations they've taken on voluntarily, classes and activities they've encouraged their kids to participate. They're busy because of their own ambition or drive or anxiety, because they're addicted to busyness and dread what they might have to face in its absence. People are busy because they're addicted to busyness and they dread what they might have to face in its absence. If I'm not busy, I might have to look in the mirror and evaluate who I am and who I'm meant to be and what life I want to live. If I'm not busy, I might have to look at my relationships and see what I could do to improve them or where they're at. If I'm not busy, I might have to evaluate what I've accomplished and what I've achieved versus who I could have been. So we are addicted to busyness and we use busyness to define our own worth, even though it's the worst variable or definition to use. So Shabbos comes and it says, Ginuk, enough with the busyness. You need that balance. Activity, inactivity, noise and silence, creativity and being passive, being at peace. It's what happens when we lose that balance. So on the one hand, it's Zecha L'Ma'asa Bereishis. It's all about holding back. God is infinite. In order to create the world and make a space, Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism teaches, he had to practice Tzimtzum. God had to hold himself back. The Zohar reads that the very first thing God created was Elohim. He created a God who holds back, who's capable of restricting himself. So God is at one time transcendental and immanent. He's everywhere, but he's also able to hold himself back and make space for others. And that's where we imitate God in creation. Creation itself required God to hold back. So for 6 days we create, we manipulate the world, we advance, we make progress, and the seventh day we hold back. And this is what it means to be strong. The Jewish definition of strength is not how much weight you can lift. It's not how big your portfolio is, how many followers you have. Ezehu Gibor, who is a strong person? A Klovesh is Yisro. It's the ability to hold back. Ethics means we hold back. On Shabbos, we don't do everything we do during the week because we're showing how strong we are. If you can't disconnect from your cell phone, you're not important and you're not busy. You're weak and pathetic. If you can't disconnect from the television and from entertainment and from Netflix, you're not engaged in pop culture and cool and with it. You're sad and you're pathetic. Real strength is the capacity to hold back, to restrict ourselves, to set boundaries. It's the ability to say no. And is there a more important lesson for our children in 2018 who've never learned, many of them, the lesson of holding back, the value of holding back? Even when you have everything. I know extremely wealthy people who can afford everything in the world. And sometimes I see, frankly, this parking lot right here during the week sometimes looks like the car show that I would go to as a kid. You want to see the latest and most expensive cars with all the latest bells and whistles? You can go to the parking lot of certain high schools. And I always wonder to myself, for those parents, true, they can afford any car in the world for their child, but what does the child have to look forward to if they're driving a Mercedes or BMW or Porsche or Infiniti when they're in high school? They've never tasted the notion of having to earn something. So true, you can afford it, but why not teach the child we're going to hold back anyway? Because even when you can have something, there's value in holding back. So Shabbos, we hold back. 6 days a week, we enjoy. And the Shabbos, we teach our children the value that even when we could have something, we hold back. We show self-restraint. That resting includes the ability to not just indulge and engage and give in because I have an appetite or a drive. Creation has meaning when I stop, when I cease creating, when I reflect, when I recognize it's the culmination of all of the creative activity I engaged in. But there's a second theme we said, and that's the Exodus. How Shabbos corresponds to the Exodus. Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, was the quintessential experience of freedom and liberation. It was the transition from slavery to redemption. And Shabbos too is that incredibly liberating experience. I challenge you during the week to sit at a table of people whose phones are ringing or hear phones ringing in the background and nobody answers. Who here feels a vibration or hears a ding and doesn't go to see what it is. And yet at a Shabbos table of Shabbos observant people, Nobody has even a twitch. Nobody has an instinct to go answer, to check, to look. Instead, you know what they're doing? Spending time laughing, sharing stories, debating opinions, with no interruption, with no distraction, with no competition. Go out to a restaurant, you see a family supposedly out for dinner, and you see a family who are all eating in the same place, but each really out on their own. See a couple who think they're having date night, and each has their phone under the table or on top of the table, and they're absent present. They're in the same place at the same time, but they're, make no mistake, they're not together at all. Shabbos enables us to be together, to spend that time. It liberates us from these powerful forces. It liberates us from the burden of the to-do list, what we have to accomplish, achieve, the work, what we have to purchase, what we have to buy, how we have to keep up. It liberates us from all those pressures. As we said, Shabbos is the ultimate snow day or hurricane day. No matter how much there is to do, how much there is to get done, guilt-free liberation from the chaos and anarchy of the week. No chores to do, no shopping to do, no places to visit, no doctor's appointments. Shabbos is my one day I get to taste freedom. It's a taste of the world to come. On Shabbos, I'm monarchy, I'm royalty, I'm a king, I'm a queen. Teach our children, they're princes and princesses. Shabbos, they're not keeping up. There's no envy, there's no jealousy. Shabbos, we simply are able to be ourselves and engage in our own happiness. This is what it means to experience Shabbos. It's to understand what rest really is, and it's to understand what it means to be free and what it means to be liberated. And those who've never tasted Shabbos, and I want to be clear to this very diverse audience, that Shabbos doesn't mean all or nothing. It's not that you're either going to become fully Shabbos observant in the strictest sense, or don't bother.
No.
To whatever degree one engages Shabbos. If Shabbos means lighting candles, set everyone's technology aside, gather around together, and welcome in this period of the week by lighting the candles, illuminate the darkness with the light of the Shabbos candles, pray for our children and our families, engage in one meal a week, technology free, even if it doesn't spill over to the next day, then that too is beautiful. To whatever degree one is engaging Shabbos, Shabbos will engage you. You will tap into those values of freedom and liberation and of rest from real creativity. It's not all or nothing proposition. I'm not saying you're doing everything or don't bother doing any of it. To whatever degree you engage it, lighting candles, one meal, setting aside a few hours, going to shul, whatever Shabbos means to you, but the idea that there's a time in the week in which we have boundaries, in which we can say no, in which we can withdraw, in which we can taste this beauty, this magnificence, we all desperately need it. It's what Shabbos is all about. It's what Shabbos is all about. It's real conversations. It's real greetings. When you see someone, you give a good Shabbos, a Shabbat Shalom. These greetings on technology, they're all impersonal. They're all meaningless. I took my birthday off of Facebook because when my birthday came on Facebook, so, you know, several hundred people just had comments, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. There was an amazing article that talked about a person who was cynical about that phenomenon, how impersonal these greetings are. So he did an experiment. 3 months in a row, three successive months, he changed his birthday on Facebook. So it would pop up on his friend's list that it was his birthday. And you know what happened to 3 months in a row? The same people wished him a happy birthday 3 months in a row. Which just proved to him how mindless and how meaningless and how lack of intentionality those greetings were. It's so meaningless. Who needs it? Shabbos takes us away from the impersonal of technology and lets us offer real greetings, meaningful time that's spent absolutely together. So that's what Shabbos is all about. It liberates us and frees us from the burdens. It gives us a taste of what rest is, that all the work finally has meaning and purpose and value in its culmination. And that's why if Shabbos is the tachlis, if it's the goal of everything we're doing, we really are supposed to think about it the entire week. And that's the way our Judaism is set up. The way of the week is... Oh, there's a pen here. The way of the week is Shabbos. First of all, the Jewish notion of how we count the days of the week. What are the Hebrew days of the week? Anyone know today is Sunday? How do you say Sunday in Hebrew? Yom Rishon. Today's the first day. How do you say Monday? Yom Sheni, the second day. These are terrible names. In 6,000 years, we couldn't come up with more creative, better names. I have no idea what Sunday, Monday, Tuesday mean, but I know that's the name we all agreed to call these days of the week, and they're good names. One day, 2 day, 3 day, that's the best we came up with? Why is that? We say the Shir Shel Yom Hayom, Yom Rishon, Shal Shabbos. Because 1, 2, 3, really the only day of the week that has a name in Judaism is?
Shabbos.
So Shabbos is up here. It's the only day of the week that has a name. And then where are the other days of the week? What is the rhythm of the week? So I would think there's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, so until you get to Shabbos. That's not how it goes. It goes like this. Sunday, Monday,
Tuesday, goes up.
I'm sorry. Yeah. No. I'm sorry. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, mm-hmm. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Shabbos is the peak. It's the pinnacle of the week.
Yeah.
Wednesday is not Wednesday. You know what Wednesday is? Erev Shabbos. What's the law? If you didn't make Havdalah on a Saturday night, until when can you recite Havdalah?
Tuesday.
Anyone know?
Tuesday,
you can recite Havdalah until Tuesday. Because Shabbos, the feeling, the benefit, the value, we detoxed for 25 hours from technology. We re-engage the people around us that we care about. And that feeling lasts from Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. If you fail to make Havdalah over here, you have till Tuesday to make Havdalah. How do I know that Wednesday already is Erev Shabbos? The Shir Shoyom, the paragraph I say at the end of davening on Wednesday morning, we tack on to davening. You know what words we tack on?
What?
A sentence. L'chuna ranana. That happens to be the very opening sentence of Kabbalah Shabbos Friday night. So Wednesday morning at the end of my davening, I'm already thinking about Shabbos. I'm shopping for Shabbos, I'm cooking for Shabbos, I'm baking for Shabbos. I'm picking up the dry cleaning for Shabbos, I'm getting my haircut for Shabbos. My Shabbos guest, my Shabbos table. Wednesday is not Wednesday. Wednesday's already Erev Shabbos. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Sunday's not Sunday. Sunday, I'm still coming off Shabbos, Monday, Tuesday. That's why I have to say Havdalah too. So a Jew's rhythm of their week is not linear. A rhythm of our week for the Jewish people is, it builds up, it peaks at Shabbos, and then we continue to experience and to value Shabbos even when we come down from it. And that's why the Shir Shalom, this prayer that we say every day, or the very names of the week, the Chaye Adam says, don't have names. The only day of the week that matters, that has a name, that's the culmination of why we do everything we do, is Shabbos. Sunday is both one day since Shabbos and one day to the next Shabbos. And Monday is 2 days since Shabbos and it's 2 days towards the next Shabbos. The whole rhythm of my week revolves around Shabbos. I work on Shabbos. I give sermons, I give classes, I work. As a rabbi, you work on Shabbos.
Yeah.
And nevertheless, I live for Shabbos these days. I love Shabbos. It's when I sit with my children. It's when we sing. It's when I spend time and catch up with my wife. It's when I catch up with my sleep. I live and love Shabbos. The whole week, I look forward to Shabbos, and then you're coming off of Shabbos. But this only happens. We're only able to achieve this special quality when we experience an Erev Shabbos. There were great rabbis, Rabbi Soloveitchik, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who both shared similarly. They said, you know, in America we have Shabbos just like they do in Israel. Mm-hmm. But in America, you know what we don't have? Erev Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Spend a Friday in Israel. Spend a Friday walking around Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, and you get a taste of Erev Shabbos. Because
mm-hmm.
the work week in Shabbos, there's no work on Friday. Friday is Erev Shabbos. By the way, you could be the most chiloni, the least religious person, the most anti-religious person in Israel, and you still call Friday Erev Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday is still Shabbat. And Saturday night is Motzei Shabbat. I remember when I was a kid, there was a movie that came out called Mr. Saturday Night. And I was in Israel that summer. After 10th grade, I was in Israel that summer and I saw a billboard advertising that movie in Israel. In America, it was called Mr. Saturday Night. I don't know if anyone remembers that movie. And in Israel, the name of the movie was Mar Motzei Shabbat. There's no other way to say Saturday. You could be anti-religion. You could be an atheist in Israel. But that's the name of the week. You get off the bus on Friday afternoon, Shabbat Shalom, everyone's saying to one another. That's the day of the week. Israel, there's an Erev Shabbos. There's Friday, there's getting ready for Shabbos. We need that. Imagine what would happen if you set your Shabbos table Thursday night and you wake up Friday morning to a set Shabbos table. Friday will not be Friday. True, you're going to work and the kids are going to school and it looks like a day of the week. It looks like a secular day. But if you set the table Thursday night, when you wake up Friday morning, it's not Friday morning. When you wake up Friday morning, it's already Erev Shabbos. The taste of Erev Shabbos. Getting engaged in all the Shabbos preparations, preparing and getting ready. Having separate clothing for Shabbos. We have tremendous literature about getting flowers for Shabbos and setting the Shabbos table and cleaning the house and haircut and nails and everything that we do in order to honor and to give respect to the beauty of Shabbos. to gather when we light the Shabbos candles. There's a custom to give tzedakah when you light the candles, and to pray for children or grandchildren, or to pray for nieces or nephews on Erev Shabbos. And then the Shabbos meal, the singing that we do, and the conversations that we have, and involving everyone and giving them a voice, people who may not have a voice otherwise. And then Shabbos builds up from Friday night till Shabbos day, and it culminates, the peak, the pinnacles, is a topic for another time. What our Kabbalists called Riva de Riven, the Ace Ratzon, the holiest time of the week. The holiest time of the whole week is unfortunately often the most neglected time of the whole week, which is the time of Shalosh Shivas, the very end of Shabbos. Right before Shabbos ends, when we eat that third meal, Shalosh Shivas, it's the holiest, holiest time of the week. For a lot of reasons which we don't have time for now. So to summarize and to conclude, because I promised I would end on time, which is very unusual for me. But now we understand when it said, Achad Ha'am said, more than the Jews have kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jews. It's kept our identity. It's kept who we are. It's kept our sanity. It's kept our faith. It's kept our belief. It's kept our families. It's kept us sane. Shabbos is truly a gift from Hashem. It's an amazing secret. And for our people, we have to return to that secret. What Shabbos means to us. What it means to us. There's a book, A.J. Jacobs wrote a book called A Year of Living Biblically.
Oh yeah, I read that.
It's a very interesting book. You read it? A.J. Jacobs, he recently came out with another one about gratitude. He's a entertaining writer. So he wrote a book called A Year of Living Biblically. And do you remember, after A Year of Living Biblically, what he decided, he writes in the book, what he held on to? Not in that book. In his next book, he references A Year of Living Biblically. And he says what he held on to from A Year of Living Biblically. And what he held on to was Friday night dinner and lighting candles. Because he found of all the things that he engaged, what was the most meaningful and enriching and empowering was Shabbos. Was Shabbos that we have to turn back to, we have to turn back to Shabbos, to the beauty, to the gift, to what Shabbos provides us. To be able to observe Shabbos, not just in the strictest technical sense, but to observe Shabbos in the biggest sense, with the beauty and what we provide to Shabbos as a whole, to recreate an Erev Shabbos and recreate the magnificence and the beauty and the joy that is in every Shabbos. To look forward to Shabbos for the whole week and to continue to draw from the gift and the energy of Shabbos for the whole week after. So wishing everyone a wonderful Motzei Shabbos, the Shavua Tov, and a good next Erev Shabbos. It's not yet Wednesday. I'll tell you an amazing story I'll end with. I visited, thank God this child's doing much better, but a child from our community who had cancer, so I visited her in Manhattan at
Sloan Kettering.
And I'm leaving on a Wednesday afternoon, and an African-American nurse says to me, as I'm leaving the floor of Sloan Kettering, she says, Shabbat Shalom. I learned I'm allowed to say that now that it's Wednesday. So what the nurse in Sloan Kettering knew, we need to come to know, which is that Wednesday's not Wednesday. Wednesday, we're already getting ready for Shabbos, and please God, when we do, Shabbos can help keep us. Have a great day.